Awful tired from yesterday, but let's thank God for them, for the energy and the worship they bring to us this morning. Amen. 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 Can I switch mics here, Bob, or no? You sure I can switch mics? All right, how's that? Can you hear me? Thank you, Jesus. Woo, thank you. Amen. Well, first, church, I want to say something about the benefit, just briefly. I really want to talk more about it next week when I can have some time to really collect my thoughts. And since I'm a very reflective person, I need time to reflect on everything. So I need time to reflect on all the events yesterday, but I really do want to thank everyone that participated in the event yesterday. I know you must be exhausted. I just heard a moan. But so many of us contributed to the success of this event. All of our workers, and I know I'm going to forget people right now, but all of our workers from the parking lot to the cooks to the servers of the food, to the ticket takers, all of our ushers and greeters who did a phenomenal job, all of those who contributed and donated food. I know so many of you donated food and beverages and desserts, and all those who donated all the hamburgers and hot dogs and all the buns and just everything that went into this event, all the participants in that fantastic concert that we experienced yesterday. We just thank God for that. So I'll be saying more about that next week, but many thank yous. I think that just looking at this event, it went very well. But you know what? I think we're even going to do it better next year. Because we are going to make this an annual event here at The Rising. So if you've got houses in other parts of the country that... I heard somebody told me yesterday it'll be Puerto Rico next year. Didn't you say that, George and Ramonita? So we're going to have a trip to Puerto Rico next year, possibly. And I can't believe that Pat won the Shore House. The queen of the shore wins the Shore House. How does that happen? We have a mysterious God, don't we? Amen. Well, I just want to tell you briefly before I get into today's message what's coming up in the next couple weeks. Next Sunday, I want to teach a message that I've been wanting to teach for a long time, that I was inspired in the men's Bible study to teach when they were studying the book of John. And I believe that John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17 is the most important conversation that ever took place on this earth. And a lot of that scripture is about the Holy Spirit. And I want to teach a message next week called Revealing the Holy Spirit. The following week is Father's Day. And if you remember, a few months ago, I taught a message called Father Hunger, and I actually want to continue that on Father's Day with Father Hunger Part 2. So, amen? Amen. So that's what's coming up next week. But this morning, church, I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. We are going to be talking about this morning, as I mentioned yesterday, male and female. God, what in the world were you thinking? Now, I've taught back about 3 years ago, I think, I did like an 8-tape series on He created them male and female. So I had to try to come up with something a little different from the 8-tape series. But it's a little different question, too. God, what were you thinking? And Matthew 19, we're going to look at verses 1 to 6. In Matthew 19, I'll be reading from the NIV this morning. Now, this portion of Scripture is where the Pharisees approach Jesus and they are asking him a question about divorce. It says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, he left Galilee and went into the region of Judea to the other side of Jordan. Large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Now, I want you to notice Jesus' answer to this question. The question is about divorce. Is it lawful? He says, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? The question is about divorce. Now watch how Jesus answers this question. Remember, the question is about divorce. Here's Jesus' answer. Haven't you read, he replied, that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female? What a strange answer. And said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Now, they asked Jesus about divorce. And his answer to the question about divorce, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? His answer is, haven't you read at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? What a strange answer, church. Now, later on in the chapter, they have to remind Jesus, hey, Jesus, we're talking about divorce. And he did address divorce later on, but his initial answer was not about divorce. Really, what he is saying, church, is that divorce is not the problem. It is a symptom of a deeper problem. The problem is male and female. Haven't you read at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female? He is saying that the material that you are using for marriage, or the material you are using for relationship, isn't what the Father originally intended. He said the problem with your relationships falling apart is the elements, the ingredients. It's not the beginning, male and female. It's not what I intended in the beginning. So in order for us to find out what in the world was God thinking, we have to go back to the beginning, male and female. Not just Genesis 1 and 2, which is the beginning, but what was said about the beginning, male and female. So let's go back to Genesis 1 and 2, and I want to extract things about the male and female in the beginning, because, church, there is nothing more complicated than the male and female creature. And what we're going to talk about today, listen, what we're going to talk about today applies not just to marriage, but it applies to all relationships, male and female. So are you ready? Now, I want to say this, and we know this, and I've taught this before, but man was created with the need and the capacity for relationship. God created you as a human being. All of us in here are mankind. We were created to be social creatures. We were born, created, and designed to relate to other people, and therefore, the Creator established the principle of relationship right from the beginning. After he created man, God says in Genesis 2:18, and this is a scripture we've been over and over again, God says, it is not good for man to be alone. God is deciding right there, he doesn't want humans to be alone. Now listen, alone means in the Hebrew language, all in one. Now that tells you something about God's mysterious creative power. What God did was God created everybody, watch, and he took everybody and put them in one body, and put the one body in the garden. So get this picture. One man had everybody in the one body. God made one human from the soil, and he never went back. In Genesis 2, verse 7, it says, "The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." God makes one human from the soil, and he never went back. He never went back. Today, we have 6.7 billion people on earth, and God only made one. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? That means every one of those 6 billion people came out of that one person. That's why God says it's not good for man to be all in one. Now, the word alone does not mean lonely. Adam was not lonely. He was simply all in one. Everybody was in one body, and God says it's not good for the man to be all in one body. Now, the word alone, all in one, is defined in the dictionary like this. It's defined as isolated. To be isolated means that you are the only one like yourself. To be isolated means there is no other kind like you. So there was no one like him to relate to. So what did God have to do? God had to go inside the man. That's where everybody was, all in one. There was a lot of folks in there. But he had to go inside the man and watch. Pull out another man just like him. That's why she's called the womb man. When Adam saw her, he said, "Wow. Wait a minute. Wait, she's bone of my bone." But why? He ain't never seen bone like this before. Bone, he ain't never seen bone with a frame, upright, walking on two legs. All Adam saw was dogs and cats and horses and monkeys and roaches and rats. He never saw anything walking on two legs upright. Even the monkey can't walk upright. He got to go like this, you know. Adam never seen anything like this. He never saw anybody walking upright on two legs. And he said, "My God, that's bone structure like my bone structure." Then he said, "This is flesh just like my flesh." Well, what does he mean when he said that? Church, you got to realize he never saw a creature with smooth skin. He saw feathers. He saw hair. He saw scales. But he never saw a creature like this. And that's why he said, "Wow. For the first time in my existence, I've seen a creature that has my frame and my flesh." Now, remember this principle, and I've taught this principle before. In order for giving to be complete, the receiver has to be exactly like the giver. In order for giving to be complete, the receiver has to be exactly like the giver. Adam could not completely give to an animal because an animal could not appreciate it. That's why Jesus said, "Don't cast your pearls before swine. Hogs can't appreciate diamonds." In other words, church, if you give a $50,000 diamond to a pigeon, he'll mess on it. If you give a $50,000 diamond to a dog, he'll play with it. He'll roll it around. Ooh, but if you give a $50,000 diamond to a woman, glory, hey, hallelujah. You know, amen, give me that. She knows how to receive that. Come on, women. Why? Because she's just like you. So in order for Adam to have someone to relate to, they had to be exactly like Adam. That's why God didn't go outside to get somebody. He went inside. to get somebody. Now look at Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" Now watch. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now you got to get this, and I know I've taught this before here, but I got to teach this to you again. I've explained this to you before, but I need to explain it again in order for you to understand some of the things I'm going to say today. That word him, in the image of God, he created him, is what's called in the Hebrew a singular plural. The name of the species is called man. So God called it him. You see that? In the image of God, he created him. The entire species, man, is called him. And he refers to the species as him. Then he says, watch, he says, male and female, he created them. He says the species man, him, comes in two models, the male model and the female model, but the species is called man. So man is the name of the spirit species because God breathed in his nostrils, the breath of life, the spirit. So man is the name of the spirit species that came out of God. So God takes the spirit species and puts him, in two different models, the male model and the female model, and both are filled with man. So Siobhan is a man. But she is a man in a female body, okay? Andrew is a man, but he is a man in a male body. You get that? You get that? I'm in a male body. I'm a man only in a male body. So everybody is man. Notice the last part of woman is man. Woman. So they're both man, except that she is the man with the womb. That's all that means. She is the womb man. He is the man without the womb. Thank you, Jesus. But they are both man, okay? They're both man. Man is the name God gave the species and breathe the breath of life into that species. Therefore, it is a spirit species. And listen, spirits have no gender. There's no such thing in the Bible as a male or female spirit. It doesn't exist in the Bible. You will never find anywhere in the Bible where it says a she spirit or a he spirit. Spirits have no gender. God is neither male nor female. Now you say, wait a minute, Pastor Charlie. He's Father God. What do you mean? Well, if you understand what Father means source, sustainer, foundation. That's what Father means. God is our Father because we came out of him, and he is our source. He sustains us, and he upholds us, and he is our foundation. That's why he is Father. God is neither male nor female. People have a problem with the Bible calling God he, so we want to change it and call him she. He or she does not mean anything to God. Spirits have no gender. Oh, you don't believe me. Turn to Matthew 23. Matthew chapter 23. Are you here? Matthew chapter 23. I want to look, or I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 22. Sorry. I apologize. Matthew chapter 22, verses 23 through 30. It says, that same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him, came to Jesus with a question. Teacher, they said, Moses told us if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow. Now see, I would have had to break that law right away. Because the thought of marrying my sister-in-law is just horrifying. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I just thought of that when I was reading. I mean, that law was crazy. But anyway, Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and have children for him. Now, there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and the third brother, right on down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her? Jesus replied, you are in error, because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Now, church, Jesus here is teaching on the resurrection. And in the crowd were the Sadducees. And the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. So when they heard Christ speak about the resurrection, they immediately had a problem. So they asked him a question. They said, there's a law that Moses wrote that says when a man marries a woman, if the man dies, his brother must marry her to protect her name. And then if he dies, the other brother must marry her to protect her name. Now, that was a law. And they said, therefore, the Sadducees are saying there's a woman who married a man and he died. So the brother married her and he died. And then another brother married her and he died. Now, I don't know if she was killing them or something, but they were all dying. And you know, let me tell you, the fifth brother's got to be a fool. Because after four died, if it was me, after four died, he should have said, not me, baby, law or not. You know, after four died? Come on. Anyhow. They said she married seven brothers and they all died. Now, they thought they had Jesus. Watch this. They said, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? If there's life after death, Jesus, who is she going to be married to? Jesus said, how foolish you are. You don't understand the scriptures. Have you not understood or read that in the spirit world, they are like angels. They are spirits. They are neither marrying or giving in marriage, for they are spirits like angels. What's the point, church? A spirit has no gender. Therefore, a spirit has no need for marriage. When you lose your body, you are genderless. Marriage is temporary. It's an earth project only. In the spirit world, there's no gender. So inside, watch, inside every human being is a man. So man is spirit. In every man, there is a man. In every woman, there is a man. In every female, there is a man. And that's a spirit being. Got that? Now, the male and female are both man. They are equal. Listen, they are equal. The male and female are equal in value. The male has God's nature. The female has God's nature. The male is eternal. The female is eternal. They are both spirits, and spirits don't die. The male is the glory of God. The female is the glory of God. The male is the image of God. The female is the image of God. The male is a dirt body. The female is a dirt body. The word humus means dirt. The word human means man in a dirt body. A spirit in a dirt body. The male is a physical body. The female is a physical body. Watch. The male is sensual. The female is sensual. That means they function in their bodies by their senses. Sight, sound, taste, touch, smell. That's how they function. Church, the spirit doesn't function that way. Your spirit does not smell. It discerns. Your spirit doesn't see, watch, it perceives. It works differently. But your body is completely sensual. It works on senses, and senses operate by chemicals and hormones. Right? That's why, listen, that's why you can't always trust your senses. Don't get married because somebody just looks physically appealing to you. That's your senses playing tricks on you. Because some of those people that look good to you are the ugliest people on the inside. So you can't always trust your senses. Now, I did not say you should never trust your senses. I didn't say that. I said you can't always let them lead you. The body is sensual. Now, in general, it is said that a male responds to what he sees, and a female responds to what she hears. Okay? A male responds to what he sees. That's why men like to look at women. Oh, come on, aren't we adults in here? That's why men like to look at women. Men respond to what they see. They have a chemical reaction by sight. Can the men say something to me? Am I the only one with this chemical reaction? I might think I have to go home and repent or something. I'm the only one that has a chemical reaction by sight. Now, women have the same reaction, but it's by what they hear. Women?
Yes.
See, you all know what's going on. The men don't know what's going on here. Sight and sound. So men respond to what they see. The women respond to what they hear. Watch, that's what they hear. That's why many times you can lie to a woman and she'll believe it. Women? Oh, you're so beautiful. You're the only one. And she will believe that because women, they feel what they hear. And many men mess with women like this. And women, and you enjoy the mess. That's the problem. All females are the same. No matter what culture, no matter what race, all females are the same when it comes to this kind of makeup. They feel what they hear. And all males are the same. All males respond to sight. You got it? So listen. So the male and female are equal but different. Equal in value, different in function. Equal in value, different in makeup. Equal in value, different in characteristics, and you've got to learn these differences or there's going to be problems. Now, I want to go over the differences that we can pick out of and extract from the beginning, male and female. Now, there are many differences, church, we could talk about, many practical differences. But today I want to focus on the beginning, male and female, and what are the differences that we can see and what we can learn from this beginning, male and female. Because Jesus told us the problem with divorce is we're not the beginning male and female anymore. That's the symptom, divorce. But the problem is we're not the beginning male and female. So what are the differences? Number one, the male was created first. Now that's important. The male was created first because God wanted the male to be the foundation to build everything else on. The female was created second. Now remember, this has nothing to do with equality, church. This has everything to do with function and makeup. The male was created first because God wanted him to be the foundation to build everything else on. The female was created second. So watch, she was built on top of the male. The male is on the bottom. He's the foundation. The female comes out of the male. She didn't come from his hip, and she didn't come from his back. She came from his front. So she's on top. Now many men like to change the thing around the other way and say, I'm on top of the woman. When in fact, you're supposed to be under the woman, holding her up. You are the foundation. You are designed, listen, male, you are designed and built by God, listen, to carry her weight. You think you're a tough male? Why is that important? Why is that important? You talk to a woman who's raising a family by herself, and you'll find out why that's important, because women who have to bring the family up by themselves can have to have it very tough. They have it so tough. It's such a struggle because they were not built to carry all that weight. Wow. A woman was designed to be carried by the weight of a male. That is why relationships don't work many times, because the male keeps transferring responsibility to the female. You are the foundation. That means you are responsible for everything that happens in that particular relationship. Now, let me give you an example. Whether you're married or you're in a relationship, whether you're in a developing relationship, let me give you an example of that responsibility. You are a man in the presence of another woman who either isn't your wife or who you're not in relationship with. You know what? You are responsible. If she starts coming on to you, you are responsible to stop that. You are the foundation. Stop talking about my knees buckled and my heart palpitated, and straighten up your knees and get your heart right. No woman can make you fall under her because you're the foundation. My knees buckle. Come on. Get on the leg machine or something. Now let me say to the women, you know what, women? Some of you need a good man to give you a spiritual slap. They're coming on to you, and you're married or you're in a relationship, They need a spiritual slap. How dare you insult the woman that I'm with? That's what you tell her. How dare you insult the woman I'm with? This ain't about me and you, girl. You're fooling with my woman. That's a real relationship, church. That's being the foundation. See, I'm getting so excited, I'm spitting up here. Spitting on myself. Church, that's the real man. That's being the foundation. That's taking responsibility for the relationship, whatever it is. The most important part of the building, this building, the most important part of this church building is the foundation, because the foundation is holding up the entire building. And everything in this building is resting on the foundation. What do you, when you build a building, when you build a house, what do you make first? The roof or the foundation? The walls or the foundation? The windows or the foundation? What do you see? We see the walls, we see the windows, we see the roof, but you don't see the foundation. Listen, yet it is built first and it carries everything. Ooh. The beginning, male and female. See, we've become so twisted since the fall that we believe we're supposed to be dominating women rather than upholding the woman. Number one, the male was created first, not so he could be the boss. There's only one boss in my book. You know who he is. Bruce Springsteen. So none of you guys are the boss of nothing. You're not the boss of nothing. Higher and Higher gave me a second wind. I'm feeling all crazy and spontaneous. All right. Number one, the male was created first, not so he could be the boss, but so he, because God wanted him to be the foundation. Number two, watch this. Number two. The male was placed in the Garden of Eden first. The Garden of Eden is the presence of God. Listen. The female was presented to the male in Eden. In other words, the male was already in God's presence, and the female met him there. Now, you don't get that. The male was placed in the Garden of Eden first. The Garden of Eden is the presence of God. The female then is presented to the male in Eden, in the presence of God. In other words, the male was already in God's presence and the female met him there. Ladies, the most important thing to know about a man is not how much money he makes. The most important thing to know is, where is he? The first thing God asked Adam when he messed up, he said, Adam, what'd he say? Where are you? Listen to me, ladies. If the male has no sense of God's presence, if he has no sense of being created in the image of God, if he has no sense of God's grace and no sense of God's love, then you are off to a bad start and maybe you shouldn't fool with him. Number two, the male was placed in the Garden of Eden first. Number three, the male was given work first. The female, watch, the male was given work first. It says the female was created as a help meet, a helper suitable, a helper to the man. That means That means that any female that wants a good relationship with a male has to make sure that the male has some sense of vision and purpose for his life. That he at least has some an idea of where he's going. Otherwise, you're going to be a frustrated woman. Now, I'm not saying the male has to have it all together and have the perfect plan or even know fully his purpose and vision. Because males, you could be in limbo for various reasons through no fault of your own. But listen, if he has no sense of a plan, no vision, no sense of direction, you're going to be a frustrated woman because you can't help a guy do nothing. God identified you as a help me, a helper suitable. How are you going to help a guy do nothing? The male was created and given work first. Genesis 2, verse 15. First thing God said is work. Verse 16, he said, oh, there's the tree. Don't touch it. Verse 17, here's my instruction to you. Keep it and you will live. If you don't, you will die. Verse 18 says, then in verse 18, now, it's not good for man to be alone. So the man, listen, was working before God thought about this other person coming. Oh. The word work in the Hebrew means to become. To become means to know something about your purpose and pursuing it. You have some idea. You have some idea what you were born to do and be, and you are moving toward it. You are becoming. You are becoming. You have some idea. That means the male man should have some sense of where he's going, ladies, before you get involved with him. Nothing is worse than a female with a male who has no clue or idea where he's going. Let me tell you why many women have problems with the male. If he's supposed to have some sense or some idea where he's going before he meets the female, and the female, the woman, is designed to help meet, to help him get where he's going, that means the female is built and equipped and wired and filled and stuffed full of helping equipment. She got all kinds of equipment. She got all kinds of equipment. She's got intuition, sensitivity, all kind of creativity, mental, intelligent capacities. She's heavy, she's deep, she could plan, she could build, she could think, she's awesome, and all of that male comes to you to help you. Now here's the problem. If she comes equipped with all these tools to help you and you ain't doing nothing, you got yourself a frustrated helper. You know, many of the females in this world are constipated people. That just came to me. They are full of stuff, but ain't nothing coming out. Because they are married to a guy who ain't doing nothing but sitting at home drinking and watching television all day long, and she's got all these ideas, all these plans, all these dreams, all this passion, all this energy, all this intellect, all this intuition, all this ministry, and she's saying, I can't get it out. Listen, the first thing you need to ask a male, it's not, do you love me? But where are you going? Why? Why? I want to know, because I want to go with you. Women were born to help, built to help, designed to help. So you better have some idea or sense where you're going when she shows up. Amen? If you're not married and a guy is interested in you, you need to start asking some different questions. Number one question, are you in the garden, sir? Do you have any sense of God's presence or God's love or God's grace? And number two, do you have any idea where you're going? Do you have any sense of purpose? Do you have any vision for the future? Do you have any plan for your life? Let me see it. Why? Because I'm loaded, baby. I got equipment. I want to know if I can help you. Amen, church? Now, sometimes you need to come up with a vision that's not just job related. Because sometimes she can help you with your job. So you need to come up with a vision that's not just job related. There has to be something she can contribute to 100%. Now, some men think that the woman just marries them to support their jobs. Listen, she might have a career. Amen. She might have a career. She's got things to do. She's got vision. She's got passion. She's got talent. She's got gifts. She's got all these energies and these intuitions. All these powerful, wonderful things God put in her, and she ain't going to sit around and just watch you succeed in the job. She wants to be a part of something where she can say, "We did this together." You know what Jesus did to the church? Who's the church? His wife. He's the bridegroom. Jesus is the bride. Isn't that right? So Jesus had a project. His project was to win the world and to spread his love and grace all over the world. And guess what he did? He gave this project to his wife. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? He gave the project to his wife. His project was to win the world, to spread his love and grace. Now, so he gives the project to his wife. Jesus had a project. Who is Jesus? He's king. Where is he? In heaven. And what's he doing? He's sitting down at the right hand of power, doing what, church, for us? Interceding. That's his, watch, placement career. Listen, but he also had a bigger career for the family. He wants to win the world and spread his love and grace to everyone, and he told his wife, "Join me in this. You go and preach the gospel. You win the world. You make disciples. You produce healthy relationships with me and others. I want you to be a part of this project." Christ wants his wife to be involved in kingdom business. Why? So when the joy comes, the female and the male can dance together and say, "Look what we did together. We brought these people to the Father." So before you get married, make sure you have at least some sense of purpose. Not just your career. It could be your career. But some sense of purpose you can join in together, because I said this before and I'll say it again. Marriage was designed to bring about wholeness and completeness in purpose. Now let me get back to help me, helper. Because all females have this ability, whether you have a husband or not. Doesn't matter. It's in your femininity to help somebody meet something. It's in your femininity. Genesis 2, verse 18, It says God gave him a help meet or a helper suitable. When God says that to you, ladies, he's telling you something about your ability. He says you're going to be a help meet. Watch. When he comes up short, you're going to be what helps him meet. You get that? See, women, you bridge gaps. You cause accomplishment. Help me. You bring about wholeness and completeness in purpose, as I said. Now, again, wholeness and completeness in purpose, not to the person. There's a big difference. Because most people, male or female, get married to try to bring wholeness to their person without ever thinking about wholeness to their purpose. Because help meet implies meaning purpose, destiny, and vision. The Bible says without a vision, the people perish. We could say where there is no vision, destiny, or purpose, a relationship perishes. Without a vision, the people perish, church. That applies to everything. Everything. That's why when you get females, when you get women behind the vision of a church, or you get them behind any vision, they are dedicated to help meet that vision will come to pass. Because, watch, because women are powerful in the area of bringing forth. Women are powerful in the area of birthing. Only a woman can give birth physically. Watch. So it is in the natural. So it is in the spiritual. A woman is powerful in birthing things in the spirit. When a woman is pregnant with God's word, pregnant with a vision, pregnant with a purpose, pregnant with a destiny, she will powerfully give birth and bring forth, and the fruit of her womb will cause accomplishments and fill voids because she is a helpmeet. And as I said, all females have this ability, whether they have a husband or not. It's in your femininity to help somebody meet something. Watch. And if you don't have someone or something to help me, you become vulnerable to the tactics of the enemy, and he'll use you to help meet his vision. And that's when you'll find yourself living in sin, or helping somebody sell drugs, or being involved in some madness, or being misdirected. Some of you, listen. Some of you have been abused because you've made great commitment to worthless causes. There's nothing wrong with the help. There's something wrong with the goal. You go out there and find yourself a nothing, and you can't even tell he's a nothing because you believe you can help him be something. And you spend all of your life, or part of your life, or a portion of your life, trying to help meet. I'm going to tell every female in here, women, you will find something in your life to help meet because of what's in your femininity. Amen? Oh, church, there's so much more I could say about the beginning, male and female. But let me just give you one more principle, because I'm about out of time, and I'll be through for today. One more principle. When Adam ate from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he told God that it was the woman you gave me. He didn't tell the woman, he told God. She gave it to me. And I ate it. Now again, notice, he told God, he didn't say anything to the woman. Do you know, males, that it is a principle that you should never say a negative word to a woman. Now, how many men really know that? Now, watch. I didn't say you couldn't disagree. I didn't say you couldn't bring constructive criticism. I said, do you know that it is a principle that you should never say a negative word to a woman? Now, you can think negative words, or you can tell God about the woman, but you should never say them to her. Again, I didn't say you couldn't disagree or bring constructive criticism. Now, a woman can say any kind of negative word to a man, and yes, it has an effect on us, but not the same effect as it has on her. You know why? Because the principle is, church, that a woman does not hear words. Watch, she experiences words. Women are designed differently from men. Men hear words. If you call me a dog, I'll just analyze the word and say, I'm not a dog. It'll affect me for a while. I'll analyze and say, no, I'm not a dog. The principle is that the woman does not hear words. Women are designed differently from the man. The man hears words. Women listen, experience words. Now, here's how it works. Your husband is not treating you right at home. He's telling you all these negative things. You're crazy, you're stupid, you're fat, you're ugly. And you go to work, and the guy on the job says, ooh, you're cute, you're fine, you're wonderful. Now you got a problem going on. She's having a bad experience at home. So going to work for her is a pleasure. She can't wait to see the guy every day who gives her, watch, another experience. That's why, listen, males, that's why it's important for you to be careful what you say to another woman. You better be careful how you talk to other women, because as innocent as it may seem, you're giving that woman an experience. You don't hear what I'm saying. I'm going to tell you something. As the pastor of this church, and I say this for everyone in ministry or in a high position of leadership, as the pastor of this church, you have to be very careful what you say to a woman. Because that's why pastors get in trouble. Like any man gets in trouble. Because they don't know the principle. The principle is whatever you say to a woman, she feels it. That's why there are so many acts of adultery, so many broken marriages, because you got men so ignorant of the principles that even when they mean well, it turns into a deep well. Especially, church, if the woman is having a bad experience at home. So if a man keeps telling a woman negative things, any man that tells her positive things, she's not necessarily looking for another man. She's looking for the experience. So she likes to be around this man, and of course that feeds his ego. So he keeps telling her things that make her be attracted to him, and then she confuses that with love, and now we got a problem in the marriage. And listen, you don't even need to be married to experience this. It's a relationship principle. That's why some women always seem to be controlled by men if the man knows how to talk. Amen? Amen? Oh, I think I'm through. I hope, church, listen, I hope it's 12:30 and I really can't go any further because there's too much to talk about, but I hope you've experienced some enlightenment, listen, about the beginning, male and female. How many would say they've experienced some enlightenment about the beginning, male and female? Church, as Jesus said in Matthew 19, haven't you read at the beginning, he created them male and female. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet. Our music team, just close us in song this morning, Angel. What would I like to hear? I'd like to hear Higher and Higher again. All right, so God bless you, church. Go to the cafe. Use your cafe coupons. Enjoy the day. We'll see you next Sunday.
So keep it up, quench my desire. I'll be at your side forevermore. Hey God,
your love keeps lifting me
so. Closest friend, but then you came and it soon departed, and you know it never showed its face again. That's why
your love keeps lifting me
so.
Oh!